Hi, this is Paul Carey from Carey Co. Check out our latest game release, Alley Cat, on iOS and Android. And check out our website at carryco.net. Now I hand you back to Brad and the team at Tech Webcast.
If you like new stuff before anybody else, if you like to keep your finger on the pulse, if you like the future and want to be in it, keep on listening because we'll start in a minute. Tech Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. Because technology, it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Ha! Stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah! Tech, 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 tech webcast. Ha! Ha! Tech, 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 tech webcast. Let's go!
Welcome to episode 386 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on the 16th of July 2016. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday at noon Melbourne time. Rate us on iTunes and like us at facebook.com/techwebcast. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast and download the Tech Webcast iPhone or Android app. Your hosts today are Brad, Jacob and myself, Daryl, and our special guest is Jarrett from Vinyl Ease. Hello, Brad.
Hello, Daryl. How are you, mate?
I'm good, good, good. On a nice sunny Mansfield day here. It's cold, but it's sunny.
Love the sun.
Oh, it's nice. It's nice. Got the wind, nice. The blinds open here and the sun's streaming in. It's very nice. Yep. I need a bit of vitamin D.
That's it, mate. That's it. How's your week been?
It's been a good, yeah, good steady week. I was in Melbourne, as I mentioned to you off air, I was in Melbourne Thursday just to get another eye checkup, and that went well. As I said in the post on Facebook, I don't know what a collective noun for ophthalmologists is, but there's about four of them looking at, all taking turns looking at my eye going, oh, that's good. Oh, that's nice. So I don't know what the collective noun is for them, but yeah, no, it was a good day in Melbourne, except the trams were as in the middle of the city were as crowded as all get out trying to get on and off the trams. But
always busy in the city on a
tram.
Yeah,
you sort of think I used to think, you know, outside of peak hour, the trams used to be fairly quiet, but not anymore. Not right in the middle of the city. They seem to be jam packed all day.
Yeah. What else has been happening, Darren? Anything else?
It's been a pretty good week. Uneventful.
Have you been Pokemoning on your phone?
I installed it, but I haven't actually had, because the weather's been, he's been so cold and lousy. I actually installed it last week, and I think I got my first Pokemon. I think they must almost give it to you when you install it. But I haven't had a chance to go for a wander around the streets here and get run over by a bus or fall in a manhole or something like that. But but the weather's nice now. So if we get a few sunny days, I might just go for a stroll and take the phone with me. But I'm a bit unsure, you guys might know, how much mobile data does that chew up? Because
I'm not sure, mate. I was using it yesterday for
actually,
a bit.
Actually, I have an answer to that.
Hey, yep, Jacob.
Yep.
Since it's using GPS data.
Yep.
And it's using your 4G data.
Yep. So in other words, you chew
more
it up.
300 megs.
Yeah.
A minute.
Ooh. And if there's something like that, I won't be doing it for very long.
Yeah, and I don't think people realise that, because they do use it a lot, and I don't think people really realise. Just keep an eye on your data.
Yeah, no, I think I've
used the app because, you know,
there'll be bill shock coming left, right, and centre to a lot of people. I think if they're unaware of it and they're just using it, you know, and, you know, not realising that it's sucking it off. Yeah, well, you're Jake was right. Have to use GPS to know where you are in relation to everything else, and of course it's got to pull everything. It's got to keep refreshing. It'd be like if you open Google Maps and just kept it open while you're walking around the streets.
Yeah,
and on 4G or 3G, and she'd be sucking the data down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I got something to add to that.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jacob.
If you have the actual Google Maps app, you could download all the maps for your area, download it to your phone, then go back to the Pokemon app, and all the maps are downloaded.
Oh, well, there you are. There's a tip.
There you go.
Someone should do a video tip for that sort
of thing.
There you
go, Jacob.
Because that one might save a lot of people bill shock or, exactly. Or stop being able to use it. So,
Yeah, good tip, Jake. Good tip. Go ahead. Yep, go ahead, mate.
I found out a lot of this on Mashable and stuff like that.
Yeah, okay. I'm sure there are a few people have obviously twigged pretty quickly that, yes, it's going to chew up a lot of data and have tried to find workarounds. But, yeah, I can imagine kids, you know, have got their mobile phones and they're doing it and their parents have got no idea that if they're running it off the cell, that it, unless they've got, you know, they're prepaid and they just run out of data, that'd probably be the best way. Give them a prepaid phone because at least then if you run out of data, well, too bad, but you're not going to get a huge bill.
Yeah, exactly. Because I was using it yesterday for a little bit while I was out walking, and it didn't really take up much of my data. And
it depends on your data. I guess it depends on your data, how much data you've got per month, and that sort of thing. So
exactly.
But yeah,
mate. So anything else?
No. I think it's pretty uneventful. Pretty uneventful, but a good week.
Good stuff, mate. Good to hear. Jacob, how's your week been, mate?
Better than last week.
Better than last week. What happened this week?
Nothing. Just about, I should say, Monday.
Yep. Oh, yeah, shout out to Betty too, Jacob's mum too. She's listening to the podcast as well. So hello to Betty.
Hello, Betty.
From Newberry, Florida. She listens to the podcast. And good on her. Thanks, Betty.
Because I put the podcast on her MP3 player.
Of course she would know about it because you're on the podcast.
Of course. I'm the lead behind it.
That's it. What else? Anything else, Jacob?
Trying to stay dry.
That's it. Just don't go outside.
No, we had a hailstorm. It was pretty bad.
Okay.
As much of hail fell, you probably crap yourself. Because all of a sudden you... Me and my mom were watching TV in the other room, and all of a sudden you heard this loud frog. It's like a frog dying or something. it was that loud. Just like,
all right. Okay, let's go on to Jared. Jared, how's your week been, mate?
Hey, it's been pretty well.
Good to have you on the podcast, man.
I've basically just been working on more videos. That's pretty much what I do with my time, just working on videos and photoshopping stuff and coming up with new ideas. I'm pretty much a one-stop shop. I do all my videos myself. I don't have like a separate editor or camera guy. So yeah, just been working on new ideas, writing up, you know, all kinds of different thoughts that I have.
Yeah, right. What sort of equipment do you use to edit? Do you use a Mac or Windows or?
I'm a Mac. I used to use Windows for like the first 20 years of my life, and then lately it's all been Mac, and I'm like, man, why didn't I switch earlier? Like, they're very good for filmmaking and, I mean, anything graphics intensive, Photoshop, you know, musicians, you know, anything in a creative field, Macs work really well with. And I'm actually very fortunate. Like, I had a laptop and it died on me last year and I had to run out and get a brand new computer. But I'm glad that this computer is actually much better. I'm on a Mac Pro now.
Okay.
So much more powerful. I can render videos a lot faster, so I can get more work done a lot sooner, which is good.
Good stuff, man. Good to have you on, Jared. We'll have a chat to you very soon. Let's go to the news, Daryl, real quick, and then we'll come back and have a chat with the guest.
No worries.
All right, here is the news intro.
This week's Tech Webcast News is brought to you by Furious Marketing. Need a new website for your business? Visit furiousmarketing.com and mention the podcast to receive a discount. Now, back to you, Brad.
That voice, so...
It's very, very, very American, that voice, too. It's sort of someone out of a radio booth has sort of done that one. It's sort of like, Furious Media, brought to you by...
Yeah.
But it was good that they're sponsoring, so...
yes.
Good, the voice doesn't matter, the sponsorship does.
Exactly.
So, the first news for this week is from Sonos itself. It's from the Sonos blog, and it's Listening Comes Home at 101 Green Street. Sounds like a movie title. After becoming a part of so many of your homes around the world, it's time we finally settle down to a place of our own. Sonos has officially landed in New York City, our new, this is from their article, our new permanent residence is 101 Green Street, Soho. We couldn't be more excited to invite you inside on July 19th and show you what we've been working on in our first ever retail space. 101G is pretty much our ideal residence. We built it from the ground up, and it's some pictures on their blog, to physically display and embody our sincere belief that better sound makes a better home. We know that the sound of music in your home is as important as lighting on the furniture, lighting or the furniture. Now we have a space where you can hear it for yourself. So those of you in the United States, particularly close to New York City, may want to, on the 19th or that, jump over and have a look at Sonos's new headquarters, and they've probably got all their sound gear set up optimally to work there. The next one is from PC Magazine, and it's Engineer Crax Seeger Saturn DRM, Digital Rights Management. After countless hours of tinkering, one industrious engineer has cracked the DRM on the Seeger Saturn. Why would you want to do that? The console was released in 1984, so if you have one, it stands to reason that the CD drive will not last forever. When it dies, the copy protection on the system means that the entire console is basically useless. So an engineer known as Dr. Abrasive, it mustn't be his real name, I wouldn't think, figured out how to load games via USB. This was no weekend project. Though Dr. Abrasive, aka James Laird Waugh, first picked up a Sega Saturn during a 2013 trip to Japan, so it's taken him 3 years to get this thing up and running. In a 27-minute video outlining the process below, Dr. Abrasive says he discovered an analysis feature in the Saturn that detects a wobble, in inverted commas, pattern echoed into the game disc. As long as the wobble appears while the disc is spinning, gamers can play. No wobble, no gaming. So this is a whole, it goes on and on and on about how it all is, but that will be on the show notes if you want to read the rest. But if you're interested in ancient gaming, that the Saturn has been cracked, the DRM of the Saturn has been cracked. And the final one is from PC World, and this is confirmed. Only Microsoft Edge will play Netflix content at 1080p on your PC. If you want to watch that true 1080p content on Netflix over your PC, you need to use Microsoft's Edge browser. On Wednesday, Microsoft claimed that its Edge browser was the only one of the big four browsers, which also includes Chrome, Firefox and Opera, to offer 1080p resolution while playing Netflix contents. A quick test of all our browsers by PC World proved this claim to be true, with the other three browsers capped at 720p. Why this matters, Microsoft's been busy trying to rehabilitate the reputation of Edge, which suffered after the browser initially offered slower performance than its competitors, while also lacking the plugins and extensions that other browsers, particularly Firefox, have offered for years. Performance in Edge has also since improved, and it has been offering a few plugins for public use. These are important steps for Microsoft if Edge is to avoid the fate of Internet Explorer, which became known as the browser users love to hate. Again, this goes on to showing off Edge. But yes, it looks like Edge will be able to play Netflix content at 1080p if PC World can be believed, and that is the news.
Good news, Daryl. Good news, great stories there, Jacob. Good stories, mate. And also the Sonos story is a great story. If you're in New York, check out that Sonos shop. It's fantastic. Wish I could go there because I'm a big fan of Sonos. By the way, Daryl, what's your view on them stories?
Well, certainly Sonos. If you're in if you're in New York, and it may be that if this is successful, it'll be the first of maybe more retail outlets. You never know. They might end up having a retail outlet in Australia at some stage, a bit like Apple, where they slowly rolled out Apple stores around the world. So Sonos may do that. But yes, if you're in New York and you're after sound gear, best pop over and have a look at Sonos. The Seeger DRM, I guess it's more something that it was done because it was there. I don't know how many people are going to be interested in actual Seeger stuff, but I guess the idea is that It could be, I guess it may be able to be, the technology involved may be able to be applied to other digital right management gaming systems, but you, again, you have to be very careful because of the legal action taken if you start, you know, cracking other systems. But I guess it's one of those, you know, we can do it. You know, it's obviously, even though Sega's been around a long time, it's obviously this DRM has not been cracked in the past. So it's obviously one of those things that the sort of hacktivist community got together and said, someone's got to be able to break it. And they did. And the last story, yes, it's interesting that Netflix content, I mean, as the article sort of said, Edge needs to get an edge on, you know, Chrome and Firefox, you know, otherwise people just won't use it. So if they've got the monopoly on being able to, at the moment, playing Netflix at 1080p, that might encourage a few more people who have never bothered to open up Edge on their Windows 10 machines to actually jump on board and have a look, because, you know, it is coming from behind. I mean, Chrome and Firefox and Opera, and that had been around for a long, long, long time, and so it needs to catch up if it's going to get any market share. So I guess having something that the other browsers don't is a step in the right direction. So, yeah, that's my take. Yep.
Good feedback, Daryl. And also just a shout-out to Sean from the USA. He actually listens to the podcast every week as well. So,
oh, shout-out to Sean.
Sean, you're a legend, mate. Thanks for listening to the podcast and sharing the podcast. And also shout-out to Corey as well.
Yes, each week. He always shares it around too, so that's great.
Also posts like little ads on the Instagram each week.
Yeah, they're great. I mean, they're great little sharing options.
They are indeed. Let's go to Jared. What's your view on them stories, mate?
A lot of great stuff. I'm just most curious about, you know, Pokemon Go that has just been sweeping social media as well. I thought about downloading it and I was like ready to, but then I heard that there was that glitch where, like, the programmers would have access to all your Gmail information. They fixed that already?
Yeah.
Okay, then I won't. Okay, then I'll then I'll actually play it. But I was a little hesitant. I was like, oh, okay. It's weird how, you know, sometimes we take one step forward but two steps back as far as, you know, like we're getting into stuff that's like, it's more convenient and our games are fun, but they're also like wired into the grid, so to speak, where it's like, oh man, there could be vulnerabilities there. So, yeah, it's interesting. Technology is always evolving and kind of, you know, morphing into different areas. But yeah, it's also fun and exciting too. It's a good time.
It is indeed. Do you have any views on them stories at all, mate?
I'm sorry, are you talking to me?
Jared, have you got any views on them stories at all? No views at all or opinions?
No, I'm good.
All right,
I'm just glad you guys invited me here. Thanks so much. No. This is actually my very first podcast, so forgive me if I'm a little nervous. Really? Yeah, this is my very first podcast ever. So
welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome to the
podcast. Yeah, I'm more of a video guy, so I spend a lot of my time, you know, like editing and stuff like that and photoshopping. So
definitely, mate. All right, we'll be back to you in about 2 minutes. Let's go to Jacob real quick. Jacob, what's your view on them stories, mate?
And on the Pokemon Go, I've been seeing some pretty bad horror stories.
Right, okay.
Yeah, people getting robbed.
Or run over and stuff.
Yeah, not run over, but poor little girl I saw on Facebook, she got hit on the front bumper of a car as they're going by.
Oh, man.
Poor girl, her face is now tarnished.
God. That's not good.
But it will heal. She's got a little black soot from the bumper.
Okay. Well, anyway, Jake, that's about the news stories real quick, mate. Any views on them stories?
Well, the Sega Saturn took them long enough.
Yep. Exactly.
And the Microsoft Edge with Netflix 1080p. I'll still watch Chrome. I don't care about 720p. I love it.
Okay.
And Sonos coming to New York. I wish I was there so I can go in there and I'll turn them all on and start turn on heavy metal.
Let me give you a little bit of a tip. If you ever hear a Sonos speaker, once you hear it, mate, you'll never go back.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. If I walked in there, if they had a room full, I would put, if they had a test device, I'll put heavy metal on each one.
As I said to you, mate, once you hear music on a Sonos speaker, you would buy one. Trust me.
Oh, you're going to buy me one?
No, I said you buy one straight away after you hear the quality of it. Even playing vinyl records on the Play 5, mate.
Do they have a Sonos store in Los Angeles at all, or is it all in New York?
I think this is the new one that's just opening in New York, first one, I think.
Well, maybe they'll bring it over here. I'd love to hear it.
Yeah. Oh, you can go anywhere. You can go to Best Buy or wherever sells Sonos.
Oh. Okay.
I think this is the first official Sonos store itself. You can buy them. They've always had them available at other electronics outlets.
So they probably have a display somewhere.
They'll probably have rooms set up like a house, you know, and with it all set up so you can sit on a lounge suite or something and, listen to music, play. You can really get the full feel for it, rather than going to a store and another store and say, what's it like? And then having to wait for it to be set up at home for you before you can actually.
It is fantastic, though, Gary. If you ever do hear this, a Play 5 or a Play 1 or whatever, it sounds great.
No, Leo Laporte has always been, from Twix, always been a big fan of Sonos. I think he's got it, he's got it all through his house. I think I've heard him on a few of his podcasts, talking about Sonos.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But if you ever get a chance, Jared, check them out, mate.
Yeah, check them.
Okay. Yeah, that would be a cool combination, vinyl and Sonos. I'd be interested to hear that.
Play 5, it's got a line in, so all I'm doing is just running a cable from my record player into the Play 5, and then it's done.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Nice. The line level in.
Yep.
That's fantastic. Cool.
Yep. All right, talking of vinyl, we have a guest on today. Daryl, who do we have on, mate?
We have Jared from Vinyl Ease and with a Z.
Yeah, two
and
Z's.
So you're into the new trend of the sort of rebirth of vinyl, rising from the Phoenix or the Phoenix rising, and tell us. My first question is being old enough to remember that when vinyl was the only option, I'm not quite old enough to remember the cylinders that is going back a century. But remembering vinyl, and particularly laughing at the old 78s that my parents had that the needle would fly across the screen at record speed, at almost supersonic speed. Why do you think that after all we've moved from vinyl with, CDs and all sorts of digital formats of music, supposedly, better than vinyl, why do you think people are going back to vinyl?
I think people are missing that personable nature to actually experiencing their music instead of becoming a passive listener. I mean, we're so used to just playing iTunes and hitting shuffle now and, all the music is available at our fingertips. We got access to millions of songs. But at the end of the day, it's just ones and zeros on a hard drive. And you can't actually look at the cover art and hold it up and, read the liner notes. I think once people go to a record shop for the very first time, once they realize that they still exist and they go to the shop and they crate dig through the different albums and they pick this up and they look at it, they're going to realize their records are actually very beautiful and the sound quality is really good provided you have the right equipment. That's a giant misconception that people have, is that records sound awful, but they can actually sound really good if you buy a minimum level of quality gear. That's the whole vinyl audio setup. You need, the turntable, the preamp, amplifier, and speakers, and sometimes there's turntables with preamps built in and there's speakers with amplifiers built in. There's lots of different combinations, but ultimately, if you try and go out and just get something that's an all-in-one player that costs $50, I mean, it's not going to be the best quality. So you get what you pay for. And I think once people listen to a true vinyl audio setup with good quality speakers and a good quality turntable, they're going to realize it has so much more life to it than just digital music.
So do you think, in a way, it's like when digital books came out, and you know, with Amazon Kindle and all that, that people reported it would be the end of the actual physical book, but that's not happened, and in fact there are now smaller bookshops reopening, even though some of the big chain bookshops have disappeared, for specialists, if you like, for specialist requirements, and that people still like the sort of the feel of the book and carrying a book around with them. Do you think that's in a way similar for vinyl?
I think so, absolutely. You know, we're human beings, we're creatures just like anything else, and we like holding something in our hand, we like collecting physical items. People collect all kinds of things. You know, I happen to collect music and CDs and records, but I think people miss that tangible nature to actually holding something in their hands. And there's lots of, I made a video about this recently, where there's actually lots of decisions that go into into playing a record. So you have to choose which album you want to play, and then which side A or side B, put it down. Then you have to choose, you know, where you're going to drop the needle, which song you're going to play. So it's all those decisions that kind of keep you present in the music versus just kind of, like I said earlier, hitting play on iTunes and hitting shuffle. So there's a real tangible nature to it, and it's very hands-on, and you're making decisions. And you're actually, it's kind of like musical theater. When you see that needle track the groove from the outside of the record to the inside, and you hear every once in a while a click or a pop, you know, and the bass is very warm. Once you see it kind of moving, your music is really moving in front of you. I think it's a special experience that a lot of people are discovering for the first time. A lot of younger people are discovering for the very first time. And people that have been around when records were in their heyday, before CDs and all this digital music came out, they're dusting off their old record collections that have been in their attic, and they're popping them back down on brand new turntables. So it's a
so have the
really
turntables, like, one issue that I think why a lot of people left vinyl originally was, you know, you have to look after your records, and you have to be careful with them when you're playing them, when you do drop the needle, because records can easily be scratched, and whether you're putting them back in their dust cover or you're putting on. I haven't looked at a modern turntable in forever. So has there been any changes to turntables since the rebirth of vinyl? Like, has the technology pushed on, or are they just recreating, if you like, the turntables from, you know, decades gone by, just sort of, you know, rebranding them? And
right. Well, the newer turntables I've noticed are mostly fully manual, and that is that you have to lower and lift the needle yourself.
Yep.
A lot of the older turntables were automatic, where you just set the record down and it would do that for you. Once it got to the very end, it would lift itself up and go back to the beginning.
And they were designed because of the fear of scratching your record, if you had a bit of a shaky hand and you're trying to lower the needle down.
You drop the needle and you accidentally scratch a little bit of the intro of the first track.
Yes.
So there's a lot of modern turntables are now fully manual, and a lot of modern turntables now have the preamps built in. And I believe the older turntables didn't really have that. They would have everything separate. Those four things I mentioned earlier, the turntable, preamp, amplifier, and speakers, you know, each one is a separate item. And if you want to get the most, like, the highest quality of your setup, you could do that. But a lot of turntables are now having the preamp built in, so it's a lot more convenient for people. So that means they don't have to buy as much gear to get started. But as far as, you know, being careful and not scratching your records, you still have to be, you know, pretty careful. That's the only thing. You know, records, they can get scratched, and that's why you just want to be very careful with them and store them vertically instead of horizontally. Don't lay them on top of each other. And also, when you're inspecting records at the record shop and you're crate digging through the dollar bin, you want to make sure that you're not buying scratched up records. So you want to kind of hold them up to the light and just kind of look around them very carefully, make sure there's no scratches, deep scratches on the grooves. And that's why I started my channel, because I want to kind of let people know about how to inspect records and how to care for them. You know, keep them out of the humidity. Don't store records in your bathroom or anything like that. Yep. Because, you know, your album sleeves could get mildew or whatever. So, you know, you got to treat your records as if they're being stored in a museum, basically. Out of the sun, out of the humidity, not in direct sunlight. things like that. So
well, that's great.
It takes some time to it takes a little while to kind of adjust to those things, but you know, once you get those basic concepts understood, then it's not really a problem.
It's great that you're doing the YouTube channel, because it would, and when you were saying all those things, it got me thinking that it would be a generation out there that's never, virtually never used vinyl, and all those things that we, that my generation grew up with, you know, making sure that they were vertical, making sure that, because they wouldn't, you know, records could actually warp if you didn't put them in a right, and so when you go to put them on the player and they wouldn't sit down flat, all those sorts of things that you took for granted because you grew up with that. There's a whole generation that's grown up with digital music that wouldn't have known that. So it's great that you're sort of bringing that stuff back, so that when people do can get the best out of their vinyl.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I had to a lot of these topics I had to kind of learn personally, and I realized, you know, I don't want people to make some of the same mistakes I did when I first got into it, and I want them to be able to protect their records and protect their equipment. Like, for example, my very first record needle, my first stylus, I ruined it on accident because I thought I could use that same stylus to play those older 78 records.
I only have
about three of those right now, but
yep.
I plan on growing my collection. But I realized the hard way that you're supposed to have a stylus that's a little bit wider. That's a 3mm stylus versus the micro groove stylus.
Yeah,
the modern stylus that play 33s and 45s. But, you know, so I had to make a video telling people, hey, don't do that. Don't do what I did. So that's why I have the channel, to kind of let people know about that kind of stuff and, you know, let them know about what the problems could be before they run into them.
And it must be good, too, with people collecting it, because there would be groups out there, you know, musicians out there that never, they were on vinyl, but they never, you know, maybe the group folded and all this, but they never got on to CD, they never got on to digital music. So in other words, they've been left back in people's attics and various other things, and now these groups can be rediscovered.
Right, the whole new genres and bands and everything, all kinds of music is being rediscovered again. There's lots of great music sitting in bins right now that people have never heard of, and you make a good point there. There's a lot of albums and artists that were only on vinyl and never got transferred to CD, and there's lots of CDs that never got transferred to digital on iTunes and so on and so forth. Every time there's a new format, it seems like there are a lot of bands, artists, albums, songs that get left behind. You know, you can't find everything on iTunes. There are actually now, because everything is going digital. For example, I tried to look for Tool. I'm a big fan of Tool's music. I love Tool, Nine Inch Nails, Deftones, stuff like that. And I tried to look up Tool on Spotify, and nowhere to be found.
not on Spotify, not on iTunes.
Yeah.
I'm actually after
Tool. That is fantastic music. It's a real shame. So
yeah, definitely.
That's another reason why I kind of believe in physical formats. That way, you know, you control the music, you play it when you want to, and it's access right at your fingertips.
And it was because a lot of it didn't, because with vinyl too, it was extraordinarily difficult to copy anything, because, you know, vinyl was almost the perfect DRM, because before cassette tapes came out, you couldn't copy anything.
Right.
So you bought an album, and if your mate said, "Gee, that's really cool. I haven't got the money. Can you?" You know, these days people, you know, still, you know, burn, you know, illegally, but burn CDs and do certain things. You couldn't do that with vinyl. And even we tried, you know, playing records and copying them onto cassettes when cassettes came out, but the audio quality was rubbish. So it was really only in desperation that you do that. So it wasn't really until the digital music came out that it made it so much easier to copy. So a lot of these old recordings just disappeared never got changed over to, you know, CD, because they weren't popular anymore. The group had gone. They just disappeared.
That's true. In some, in a lot of respects, analog music is a lot, you know, more copyright protective. Yep. You know, it's less prone to piracy.
Yep,
exactly. Sure. I've got a question for you, Jared.
Yes.
Now, what equipment do you use to play your vinyl? What sort of amp and record player do you have and speakers?
Okay. So my full setup is the Audio-Technica LP120.
Yep.
And that one does have a built-in preamp, like I was talking about earlier.
Yep.
And then that is plugged into my Yamaha RS201. It's a receiver.
Yep.
And, you know, receivers or amplifiers, it's the same. Basically, receiver, I mean, we probably already know this. That receiver is basically like an amplifier with multiple inputs, so you can connect. I got my CD player hooked into it also, and I have a cassette deck plugged into it also.
Nice.
And then that's plugged into a pair of Mica bookshelf speakers. They're the Mica MB42 speakers.
Okay.
And yeah, they're good little speakers. They sound pretty well, depending on, I mean, their size is pretty small, but they have a pretty powerful sound for their size. And then I have this this Pioneer subwoofer. It's let me see if I can remember the model. It's an Pioneer SW8MK2 subwoofer. It's a 100-watt subwoofer, really good bass, and yeah, that's pretty much my whole setup.
And what about what sort of music do you get into these days? I'm into Tool. I love Tool and Primus and them sort of bands.
Oh, nice! You're a fellow Tool fan.
Yes,
Tool,
yes. Tool, I awesome. Love Beastie Boys. What else? What sort of music do you get into, mate?
I love Tool. Like I said, Nine Inch Nails. I wish I could find more of Marilyn Manson's early stuff on vinyl, but I mean, that's super expensive if you can find it on eBay.
Yep.
I also love Iron and Wine. As far as mellow, chill music, Iron and Wine, Kings of Convenience, Jose Gonzalez, this really great folk singer from Iceland. He did the soundtrack to that movie, The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. Really good. And what else? I'm also into a lot of artists in England, too. There's Marika Hackman. She came out with an album last year. Really beautifully dark music. It's just gorgeous. And London Grammar. Agnes Obel. She's from Copenhagen, Denmark. Her albums, Philharmonics and Aventine, are just gorgeous. She's got this song, Riverside, that's just phenomenal. It'll blow you away. What else do I have? On my wall, I have like a little record wall. I've got, right now I've got, what else? Oh, Antonio Carlos Jobim, really good bossa nova music. Madeleine Peyrot from France. What else? I have the Kung Fury soundtrack on vinyl, which
okay.
I was very happy to pick that one up. Apparently it's like sold out now. But I would say probably my rarest record that I own that's really special to me is this one by this band called The Parlor Trick.
Okay.
This band, and I think they're from Oakland, California, and they pressed this record, and they only did like maybe 300 copies or something like that, and they only pressed it once, and that was it. And I heard their music online, just fell in love with it. It's hauntingly beautiful music. I kind of like music. It's a little darker, a little spookier. It's just, I don't know, it's good music to listen to late at night or on Halloween or something like that. And it's on red vinyl. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's got beautiful etching on the inside. And I was looking for it everywhere online. I could not find it on eBay. Couldn't find it on Amazon. I looked high and low. I tried Discogs. Couldn't find it there. And finally, I made a video about it saying, oh, I wish I could find this album on vinyl. I wish I could track it down. And I kind of forgot about it. And then months later, maybe like 5 months later, someone watched that video, contacted me, and said, hey, I think I got a lead on that record. And I was like, really? And they're like, yeah. And so I emailed them back, and they told me that they had actually contacted one of the artists from their expired, they had like a Kickstarter page to fund the pressing of this album on vinyl. And they contacted the artist directly through that page and actually got two copies.
Wow.
One that they kept for themselves and one they sent to me absolutely free of charge, which was just the nicest thing ever. So I made another video and thanked them personally in that video. And yeah, it's really special to me because it's very hard to come by that disc.
Very awesome. Very awesome. What about Beastie Boys? Have you got any Beastie Boys on vinyl?
Not yet. There's some really popular bands that I still don't have on vinyl. Like I don't have any Beatles on vinyl, which I know is a sin. I really want to get Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon, and you know the standard ones that people pick up. Miles Davis, Kind of Blue.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just focusing on these other bands, and
That's cool.
Kind of forgot the big ones. But
very cool.
Yeah, little by little, I'll have everything, I'm sure.
All right, Jacob, what do you want to say, mate? I think you might have a question for me as well, and also for Jared, I think.
Oh, it's a good one. It's a doozy for you, Brian.
All right, go ahead. You want to explain my backstory, Jacob? Because I think because you were around actually when I did all this, we actually rang up a few record players, and I got one and it didn't work very well.
Yep, that was a Sony one. It was 2 years old, and the thing kept freaking skipping.
It's skipping, yeah. And this one had you had to go and buy which I didn't actually know about. You had to go and buy an actual preamp for it to get the sound to come out of the
speakers. Okay. Yeah.
And which was a good lesson learned. And the second one that I bought, Jake, what was that one? Audio Technica.
Yeah, it was one model down from
the LP60.
Yeah, that was just a piece of.
No,
I'm not going to say it. I took that back, mate. The platter, mate, was just crazy. Just thought it had all marks on it. Wasn't very clean.
Yeah, and underneath. Yeah, I had a hands-on experience watching through FaceTime. Yeah, the little drive belt was a stinker.
Because and I when I got it home, I couldn't work out why I couldn't play any. It wasn't working because the bloody belt came off.
Oh man!
And so I was using that for a little bit, and then that sort of broke, and then I took that back, and then I came across another one that I've got now, and it works fantastic. So,
one do you have?
J Studio one.
Yeah, very very good quality record player. You may want to have a listen to Jared's a podcast called Vinyl. What's it called? Vinyl. I can't remember the podcast called now. Keep talking, Jacob, for a minute. Keep talking.
Okay, I'll keep talking.
I guess it's called the Vinyl Guide. Vinyl Guide.
The Vinyl Guy or the Vinyl Guide?
Guide.
Okay, cool.
Like a TV guide.
Okay.
And now he came to Australia. He's from America.
Okay.
Yeah, it's called the Vinyl Guide. Yeah. He came to Australia and he went around to a few Melbourne record shops and he did interviews of the owners there.
Nice.
And, which is quite interesting. You may want to have listened to that, mate.
Okay, for sure.
Have you got many record shops around where you live, or do you go to many?
Yeah, here in Los Angeles, there's quite a few. The biggest one that I've talked about many times on my channel is Amoeba Music in Hollywood. It's probably the biggest record shop in Southern California. It is just massive. It's this giant warehouse, and they have lots of rock vinyl when you first walk in, but you move towards the back, and there's more blues vinyl, and I mean, just so much vinyl records. It's incredible. It's a two-story place. First story is all music, and then second floor is movies. And they have every single format you can think of, even, you know, stuff that's more rare that you wouldn't think they have something. They have a section there dedicated to that rare type of music. It's wild. I've seen everything from, like, Laserdisc there, 8-tracks, you know, of course, cassettes, vinyl records, CDs. DVDs, Blu-rays, VHS, it's pretty wild. I've seen 78 records. They have a whole wall of those and these Edison Diamond discs that are very rare. They just had one little box, 45s. I mean, you name it, they've got it there. So I spend more money than I should there.
We've got an old record at home that's a 78. Uh-huh. It's a one-sided record. It was before they developed two sides. And it would be probably either early 20th century. It was Enrico Caruso, who, for people who are opera fans, would know. You know, he was a big tenor around the turn of the 20th century. And it's a one-sided 78, and it's.
I don't think I've ever seen a one-sided. It's 78.
Yeah, it was must have been before they had developed pressing on both sides, and because it would have to be, yeah, it would have to have been around the turn of the 20th century, and it's very hard. I mean, it's been we played it a couple of times. It's very scratched. It's very crackly because obviously the recording technology then was you know, it was virtually not long after the cylinder, and so it was, so the recording was
I mean, even if they're really scratched up, they'll still play. It might click and pop quite a bit, but it'll,
you can still
play.
Actually,
this is a
hear
CD that's just, it's done for, you know.
And it's amazing, you hear his voice and you think, well, that guy was singing probably around 1900, and you think, there's his voice, you know, like, and you think, you know, yeah, that was the one thing that used to interest me was the very old recordings. Thinking, well, these guys, you know, they're 100 years ago, and here we are listening to their voices again.
Very true. They're like those little artifacts from the past where you can just, whenever you want to step back into that time, you just pop it down and spin it, and it comes to life. It's really interesting. All right. Record shops, I'd said on Twitter, I think, like, record shops are kind of like museums of sound.
Yep.
You know, they kind of guide you through all these different decades, all these different genres. Music is just so expansive. It's incredible.
Definitely. Jacob, any questions for Jared?
How many records do you have in your collection?
Oh, that's a good question. I haven't counted them lately, but I actually don't have as many as a lot of people would think. I probably have about 150, maybe 175, somewhere around there. Another thing is I'm very picky. I'm very selective because I know that records take up space, so I don't want to just collect any old thing. I want to be very selective, and sometimes I'll go to the record shop and really look through everything and only get one, you know, because to me it's more about the experience. But yeah, somewhere in the range of about 150, 175, around there.
Interesting. And what about you? I
spend so much time making the videos and editing stuff that I'm not always at the record shop. So
yeah.
I spend my time doing one of those two things.
And what about you, Jacob? Well, tell us about what you, because I know you have record player and you've had a lot of old record players in the lounge room from your mum and dad owns, but tell us about what you have, mate, in your collection.
I don't have anything. I just grab a few from there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying to you. What do your parents have in their collection? Because I know you showed me a few once before. What do they have?
I know for one thing, I have Deep Purple. It's in my little record player right now.
Oh, nice.
Deep Purple, that's nice. Good stuff.
Smoke on the Water.
That's actually good song. The podcast, I'll crack it.
Good song. So, Jared, how often do you buy vinyl record? Every week or every month or how often do you buy?
I probably buy at least one or two every week. So it's a growing habit, you know. And I think just like a lot of other people, I'm bit by the vinyl bug. You know, you can't just collect a couple. You got to start collecting a lot. And
exactly.
So you got to think about upgrading and buying the right shelves and stuff like that. So I'm just thinking to myself, oh, man, in a few years, I'm going to look like John Cusack from that movie High Fidelity, where he's just like in his room with all these records surrounding him. And he's trying to organize everything.
Right. But
it's fun because, you know, I've thought to myself, actually, and this is probably terrible, but like, I'm like, how often do I pick a book off my bookshelf? Not very often, but how often do I take a record off my shelf and play it? Pretty often. So I'm like, all right, well, it's fun to collect records because at least you know that you're going to actually play them. You're going to spin them and play them. And, you know, I don't want to think of them as just these artifacts that I put on the shelf and just never, you know, experience or interact with. So,
yeah. Right.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, but yeah, I'm definitely thinking about upgrading and buying more shelves and stuff to kind of, as my collection grows.
Yeah, definitely. But
yeah, it's a lot of fun. I think another thing that's kind of preventing me from buying too many records is actually making the videos on YouTube, because I'm spending my time in front of my computer and not at the record shop just buying stacks and stacks of records. So, but yeah, it really makes me feel good that I'm helping other people online, so that way they don't have to, you know, go through a lot of the struggles that I first went through whenever I started collecting, and I want to answer all the questions that they have and stuff like that. So yeah. I'm glad the channel has grown as it has to help more people that are just getting in.
Have you seen a movie called Empire Records?
No, but I've heard a lot of people talk about
it. Watch it, mate. It's a best great movie. You should check it out. It's a great. Have you seen it, Jacob? Empire Records?
Actually, I never heard it until you said something.
Oh God. Okay. But Darryl, I suppose you haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it, but I've heard about the movie, but I haven't had a chance
to check it out. It's a good movie.
Yeah, cool. I will.
Yeah. Liv Tyler's in it, and I've just seen the cover and stuff, and she's so pretty.
Yeah, definitely. And that's based in like a music shop sort of thing, and it's really really interesting to watch and very funny some parts, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I know that when I first got into records, I watched High Fidelity because that's just, it's such a great movie.
yep. So before we wrap up, Jared, what's your final view on the podcast and what's the future of the YouTube channel? What's next for you, mate?
What's next for me? I'm just going to keep making videos. Apparently people like them, which is great. I'm getting a lot of requests from people. They're like, oh, can you do a video about this or this? And you would think, okay, well, you're only talking about records. How many topics could there be? But actually, I have hundreds of topics written down.
Yeah.
To date, I've made about 125 videos, more or less, and I could make hundreds more. There's lots of different topics that I want to talk about. Turntables, direct drive versus belt drive. I mean, yep. it just goes on and on. So,
what's better out of them, direct drive or the belt drive, whatever?
I would say, I mean, you told me about your experience with the LP60 that's technically a belt drive underneath there. I would say go with direct drive. The speeds are more consistent. You don't have any problems with the belt wearing out or breaking or falling off or anything like that. And the only thing is that some people say, to get technical, the direct drive means that there's going to be a little more rumble when it plays, so the sound isn't going to be as clear. But you know what? I can't even tell a difference, so it's not really that big of a deal. So I would go with direct drive.
Okay.
But yeah, I just want to keep growing my channel and help people, and yeah, I don't know, just take comments from people and stuff, and I try and respond to as many as I can. And the channel has grown so much that it's hard for me to kind of keep up with a lot of comments now. But essentially, I do everything myself, Photoshop and editing and stuff. But yeah, just growing the channel, helping more people out, helping more people get into this hobby will be fun.
How long has the channel been around for? Just before I'm not sure if you asked.
About a year ago today, actually, is when I uploaded the very first video. So it's 1 year old.
So you recommend to people getting into vinyl? Getting into vinyl, we reckon it's pretty cheap. It's a cheap hobby, but buying records are not really cheap. But equipment is cheap.
It depends. If you buy brand new albums, they're about $20 each, so that'll add up. But if you go through those dollar bins and if you crate dig for a little while, you can find some really great stuff at a good price. There might be a new artist or a new album that maybe they're not discovered yet, but it's really good music. And maybe they came out with an album a few years ago, so the cover is still new and the record's in good condition. You know, that's the fun thing about vinyl. You know, take a chance. You might discover a new artist or a band that, you know, you might fall in love with. So, yeah, it's a really fun hobby. Always, you know, think of your storage, too. Get a nice IKEA shelf from, the Kallax series or something from IKEA. I don't know. It's a lot of fun. It's a new way to experience your music that I hope a lot of people come around to, because we're living in this digital age where everything is so quick and cheap and convenient, but it's also forgettable. I came out with a video. How many people remember the first MP3 they downloaded? Not that many. But how many people remember their first vinyl record? A lot. You know, because there's a story behind it and a memory associated with it. So yeah, it's a whole new way to experience music.
Yeah,
you discover a whole lot of this stuff.
Jake, do you want to mention a record shop called Greville Records? You want to give a shout out to Steve?
Yeah, and I would like to give one a shout out to Heartland Records, Paul. And you're saying, I remember the first MP3 I downloaded.
Yeah.
What's the song?
A what song?
Fart.
Okay.
Well, hey, I was only a kid at that time. I was only 13.
Oh, nice.
So Jake, what's up? Because I know you're a big Spotify fan. I still love Spotify and Apple Music, but I still use Apple Music a lot. But what's stopping you from you getting into vinyl collecting? Are you not into that sort of thing? What's stopping you?
I'd rather CDs and digital.
Yeah, because you collect a lot of CDs, don't you?
Yeah.
CDs and DVDs and that sort of thing?
Yeah, you should see my wall.
It's good. Good get into. It's a good hobby to get into.
Yeah,
it's a great hobby.
A lot of fun.
Yeah.
Beach Boys was my first album.
Oh, really?
Yep. Boys album was the first one I think I got. Yeah, I got my first stereo system when you were talking about all the units being separate. I got it when I was 21, which is over 33 years ago nearly. And that was the same. I went to the stereo shop and the guy there said, oh, yes, JVC at the time were big for the amplifiers and turntables and that. And so I got that, but he said, oh, no, they make crap speakers. So he said, you've got to get American speakers. And they were, KSW was the brand of speakers, and they were big. They were about, compared to what speakers are today, they were huge in size. But that was my first, and then my first album was the Beach Boys.
I could beat you on record speakers. Kenwood.
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 Older. Kenwood, and they still work.
Yep. Oh, I remember Kenwood brand. Yeah.
I remember Kenwood. Yeah, Kenwood's a great
but,
brand.
But it was just so interesting that this guy at a stereo shop that just sold stereo systems, he said, "Oh, no, you don't buy Japanese speakers." He said, "They're rubbish." This was at the time. You know, this would have been early 1980s. He said, "Don't buy them. They're rubbish." He said, you got to buy American speakers. He said, "They fit well with the Japanese hardware." And so I didn't know enough about it, but it was right. I mean, the speakers... they're long gone now, but the speakers were great. Well, but they were heavy and big compared to like the speakers you've got today. That, you know, the light and these things, you wouldn't want to be shifting them around anywhere because they were just so heavy.
Right. Yeah. You know, as far as my setup, I've got, you know, these bookshelf speakers and a subwoofer. But there are some really nice floor standing speakers if you got the money that are basically like subwoofers are built into them. It's got the tweeters. It's got everything you need. And you know, it seems like the bigger the speaker, the bigger the sound, but not always, but a lot of the case.
No, they did, you know, reform them, and you're right. I mean, you know, in days gone by, you had to have big rooms to put your stereo in because the speakers were, particularly, you know, if you had four speakers, you know, like even going back, it was a short-lived technology, but when quadraphonic was around, you know, it was sort of before surround, but they now have surround sound and everything, but the quadraphonic, and I think the first sort of albums that came out, they were sort of like they were Deep Purple and a couple of others were the first to use what they called quadraphonic, but it died out because it was just too expensive.
Yeah.
All right. Let's wrap up, Daryl. So, Jared, where can they get hold of you on Twitter? Where can they get hold of you if they have any more questions for you?
You can find me on YouTube if you search Vinylize, VinylEyezz. And I have a Facebook page and a Twitter.
And by the way, do you know a band called The Avalanches?
The Avalanches? No, I haven't heard of them. What kind of music are they?
Oh, it's very good, mate. They've just put out a new album. It's very nice, very good on vinyl. Sounds fantastic.
Nice, I'll check it out.
And very good. So you're on Twitter?
Yes, I'm on Twitter, at Vinylize.
Good stuff, mate. Jacob, by the way, Jared, what's your final view of the show, mate?
What's that?
What's your final view of the show? Did you enjoy being on the podcast?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Thank you guys so much. Like I said, it was my first podcast, so forgive me if I was a little awkward at times, but, you know, it was a lot of fun. It's neat that, you know, thanks to the internet that we can communicate. I mean, I'm in Los Angeles. You guys are in Melbourne. It's great.
Exactly. Have you been to Australia before?
No, but I once dated a girl from Australia. She was actually from Melbourne too. Funny story. Really?
Interesting.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Cool, man.
Because in LA, there's a lot of actors and actresses that come over here for programs and stuff. So, yeah. She was very sweet. Australia seems like a great country. I would love to visit someday.
You should come over here one day to try a great spot. Good to have you on, Jared.
Thanks for inviting me.
And come back on any time, mate. Jacob, what's your final view of the show, mate?
I love always being on. It's always a fun time.
It is always fun on this podcast. Did you do a shout out to Steve?
Yes, I did.
What'd you say? I forgot.
I said Steve's rocks.
Right. What's that?
And you can follow me at jazzbot32669 1z.
Yep, you can get me on Twitter at Brad Oz and at Tech Webcast. Daryl Hunt, what about you, mate?
They can get me at Learnscape on the Twitters and Daryl Hunt at Google Plus.
Mention that joke again, Daryl.
That I'm the only one. But seeing that as vinyl has made a comeback, that might show that Google Plus may make a comeback. I mean, people may just have misunderstood Google Plus like they misunderstood vinyl. So you can find me at Daryl Hunt at Google Plus or at Learnscape on the Twitters.
And just real quick, I didn't mention this, the main reason I got into vinyl, if I didn't get into vinyl, PBS, I actually won a prize from PBS FM in Melbourne, the radio station here. And in the prize pack, it had vinyl records.
Nice.
So I really wanted to play these vinyl records, so I had to go and buy a record player. That's how I got into it.
There you go.
So if I didn't win any vinyl records, I wouldn't be into vinyl now. So thanks to PBS FM for getting me into that.
Cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, PBSFM, for sending me them vinyl records.
And they're going to be sending out some shirts.
What's that?
And they're going to be sending out some shirts to us.
They will be, yes. They're not free, though.
I know.
I wish.
$25 a pop. Especially for my size.
All right. So, Jake, want to say something funny before we go?
I love Tech Webcast.
Yeah, and you're a double XL size and T-shirt.
Okay. Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. Because technology, it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah! Tech Webcast. Ha! Tech Webcast.
Big ups to Andrew, to Brad, Jody, Steve, and Jennifer! Boom!